Shalom, this is Shira Sherbo coming to you from Sfat, Israel. We received a question about one of the seven universal laws of Noah, the one that tells us to set up a judicial system and courts of justice. So the question was that this commandment seems to be for a government or for a society to make sure that laws are being kept. So the person wanted to know, what does this mean for me personally? How do I keep this commandment on a personal level? So this is a great question, and I don't think it's a coincidence that it was asked this week, because this is the time that we're in. Our Torah portion is in the beginning of creation, and we're talking about creation and then the flood of Noah when these laws were all given. And it seems crazy that what was written in this ancient text of the Torah is actually more relevant to us than what's going on in the daily news. So there's an energy in the air during each Torah portion, because God's word is alive and it's relevant and it's full of timeless wisdom for every generation. So we want to know, what does this law given to Noah have to do with each of us personally today? When God created the world on the second day, which in Israel, the second day is Monday, which seems like today we still have problems with Monday, the second day. But on the second day of creation, there was a separation made between the waters below and the waters above. And it doesn't say, and God said that it was good. He usually says that after everything he created, but on Monday, he didn't say that. So division isn't good. And the purpose of creation, and man is God's partner in creation, the purpose is to get rid of this divide between heaven and earth and to make the world a home for God, to bring heaven down to earth, to create a righteous society. And it's not a democracy, really. It's a theocracy. Because what goes on down on earth has to coincide with what's going on in heaven. Because when we speak about God and the concept of kingdom, we have in mind a king who has a picture of good and bad. He has an ideology of right and wrong. And this is what society learns. He learns the king's ideas and values. The society is like awakened to what is really right, and it structures itself and it structures all of its institutions according to what the king says is good and bad and right and wrong. And when we finish this process, we're going to amplify and proclaim the values of the king, that all the values that he had in his heart and in his mind when he created the world. So, okay, before God created man, he said to the angels and even to the whole universe, he said, let us create man in our image. And there's a Kabbalistic teaching that God is showing us by saying this. He's showing us how to be humble. And humility is a necessary ingredient for making this world a home for God. Because God doesn't need to consult his creation. He's God, and he was about to put man in charge. And everything that he had made up until that point would either be elevated with man or spiral down with man. And so he let them have a say-so, or he consulted his creation when he was about to create man. He said, let us make man in our image. And so it turns out that the first 10 generations of man did a really horrible job, and they spiraled down. They took the animals, the birds, they took everything down with them. And so the creation that started off with so much promise, it turns out that it says they were wicked, that man was reduced to being manipulative and cynical and treacherous and self-serving. And so he had this position of responsibility and this position of dominance, and he just just had this downfall and took all of creation with him. And so when man fell from his divine image, all of creation fell. So why was Noah considered righteous? Noah was one man that cared about the environment. And so he got chosen to build this ark. He cared about the environment, he cared about the animals, and he cared about doing what was right and about being a responsible human being. And so after the flood, God made a covenant with Noah, and he gave him the sign of the rainbow that he would never flood the world again. So he gave Noah 7 categories of laws. 6 of the categories of laws was given right in the beginning to Adam. The one that Adam didn't receive was the one that prohibits eating the flesh of a live animal. But since Noah deserved to eat animals for his benefit, because his relationship with the animals was one of compassion, one of serving them. It wasn't about fulfilling his immediate desires. What can you do for me? He wasn't lustful. He was kind. And so Noah was given the okay to consume meat. So Moses and Israel were given 10 categories of laws, but most people in the world are under the 7 laws of Noah. The Jews were given more responsibility. They were told to be a light to the nations. They are like the faculty, the teachers, the priests. The rest of the world is required to keep the 7 categories given to Noah and his family. So Noah's son, when they left the ark, Noah's son Shem became a teacher to teach these 7 categories after the world flooded. And we have a place. It's so funny that this place is here in Sfat, that Shem and his grandson Eber taught these 7 universal laws to mankind. And they taught the whole purpose of creation. They taught the world. They were teaching people how to bring heaven down to earth. And Shem's ancestors became Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And so here we are in Sfat today, still, you know, teaching the whole world these 7 laws given to Noah. And we have a website, Torah for the Nations, and there's so much in-depth teaching to each one. There's these details, these in-depth aspects that are included within each basic law. That's why I say they're not just 7 laws, they're 7 categories of laws with so many aspects to them. And this makes them a very firm, reliable, and comprehensive moral code, and it is our best hope for achieving world peace. So each one of the 7 universal laws corresponds to a color of the rainbow and to one of the 7 sephirot, or a sephirot is an emotional attribute of God. So this particular one of the 7, this one law of establishing a judicial system, this corresponds to God's attribute of kingdom, or malchut, whose inner experience is humility. And King David represents this attribute and this commandment, this Noahide law, because he was a king and he was humble. And David had a constant yearning for closeness to God. He saw it as the core of our existence. And you see this in all the Psalms, that David is yearning for God to be one with him, to connect with him over and above anything else. So having humility, it doesn't mean that you're nobody. It means that we recognize that there's this separation between us and God, and we yearn to do whatever we need to do to be close to him, to be one with him, and to be one with each other. And having humility is how we reach our full potential as human beings. It's just like A racehorse is this powerful animal. But when it takes on this yoke or this harness, it submits all of its power. It does whatever the jockey says to do. Go right, go left, go slower, go faster. To do it, that's how it wins the race. The horse and the jockey are one. The horse is connected to the jockey. It's humble, so to speak, and that's how it reaches its full potential. So for us to reach our full potential as human beings, we need to practice humility. And so when we imitate God, that's when we're acting naturally. That's when we're who we really are. That's when we're one with Him. And we have to make our intellect control our emotions. We can't use our intellect to rationalize emotional behavior. We are not animals. We can think. We can choose. So in this malchut, in this kingdom that God wants, God doesn't act by Himself, but He acts through us. And it's the whole goal that God had in mind when He created the world. So I was going to read a little bit from Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg's book called Kabbalah and Meditations for the Nations. He goes through all the seven Noahide laws, and he talks about how each one corresponds to a color of the rainbow and how each one corresponds to one of the seven emotional attributes of God. And what he says about this this one of making laws, he says our society is our extended home, a place in which we want to feel comfortable. And when we live in accordance with God's will and care for the welfare of our society by establishing courts of justice, our world becomes God's home, a place where He can feel comfortable, so to speak. A legal system sharpens the sense of responsibility that each member of the society has for his deeds. Ideally, the social call for justice serves to inspire every member of the community to better his deeds and to live up to his potential. Social responsibility is thus the beginning of the conscious endeavor to return to God, to make Him a home on earth. So there is a relationship between Israel and the children of Noah, and he compares it to a male-female relationship. The Israel are the givers; they're the male, and God's they're in charge of giving over God's teachings to the sons of Noah, who are the receivers, and they're the female in this analogy. So this is where it takes a lot of humility. It's called bitul in Hebrew. It's called coming as an empty vessel, waiting to receive. That's what true humility is. And so this is how non-Jews need to recognize what God has been doing with Israel all these years. That it's not a coincidence that Israel is still here after all these years against all odds. And to recognize who the teachers are, and to choose to learn about God, and to learn about who He is, and from the eyes of the people that met Him face to face on Mount Sinai. So it is not a coincidence that we received this question this week. It's not a coincidence that we have a Noahide Learning Center here in Tzfat, and it's the place where Noah's son Shem began to teach the seven universal laws. So if you have questions, we would love to answer your questions either by doing recording like this, because we figure if one person has a question, there's a lot of people that have the same question. We can do a recording, or we can Skype with you personally. Contact us at Torah for the Nations. Okay, this is Shira Sherbo and Shalom from Tzfat.